Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
I'm afraid as I look out at the state of the world and I ask myself, how am I not supposed to be filled with anxiety and woe? I'm filled with fear when I see families worried if their children will be able to receive food assistance. I'm afraid when my nephew and nieces go to school and have to worry that they might be victims of violence. I'm anxious when we have an unelected person having access to policy-making decisions. I'm worried about the child because of who they are, feels alone, lost, and broken. I'm afraid. I'm afraid when a pastor calls for our leadership to lead with compassion, humility, and mercy, and the response of other Christians is to malign her. They misquote scripture, quoting Jeremiah 23:16, which if they kept reading into the next verse, they would find Jeremiah speaking against the prophets who do not call the people to repentance. It says this completely. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesied to you. They are deluding you. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to all who stubbornly follow their own stubborn hearts, they say, no calamity shall come upon you. I'm afraid. I'm afraid when I see a church which is supposed to be united first and foremost in Christ, dividing itself by the cares of this world, more concerned with upholding the status quo instead of caring for all creation. They've become so concerned with being successful in this life that they've stopped caring about the next. What are we to do? There are people who are suffering, and how should we respond? Should we continue to marginalize them and push them to the side because I don't agree with them, because they crossed the border, because I don't agree with who they love, because their skin is different than mine? Are they not human? Are they not created in the image of God? What then is my responsibility to them? When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was an alien, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you an alien and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you who are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was an alien, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or an alien or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So who are the least of these? Who is Jesus talking about? Is he talking about the rich? Is he talking about those within the dominating culture? No, he's talking about the people who are left on the margins of society because of one reason or another. And we know who these people are. They're the people experiencing homelessness. They're the people who are struggling to access food for their families and healthcare for their loved ones. They're the ones who are searching for love and acceptance because the people who should love and accept them don't. Jesus wants us to look at this world with compassion, with a heavenly perspective, not an earthly one. We must stop allowing earthly boundaries to dictate who our neighbor is and look out into this world and care for the least of these. And how can we be sure that we care for the least of these? Well, our solution's right in front of us. We repeat it every single week, but maybe it's become too rote. Maybe we think we don't have to take it seriously, or that we can only follow it, we can follow it only when convenient for us. Our mission is to bring heaven to earth in all that we do. In all that we do. That doesn't just mean the way that we act at church. Are we bringing heaven to earth in the way that we live? Are we bringing heaven to earth in the way that we raise our children? Are we bringing heaven to earth in the way that we work, how we lead people? Are we bringing heaven to earth in the way that we talk about those whom we disagree with? Are we bringing heaven to earth in the way that we appoint leadership? Are we bringing heaven to earth in all that we do and calling others to do the same? Jesus challenged those around him to upturn their lives and live for the kingdom of God. But his opponents, the ones who benefited from the status quo, benefited by keeping the poor poor, the sick sick, and the hungry hungry, those who ignored the needs of those around them because it was too much work to worry about them or because it wasn't their problem. His opponents were the ones who said, "I got it all figured out, so I don't need anyone to tell me how to live my life." His opponents were the ones who were not willing to completely reprioritize their lives to follow God and to engage in God's kingdom work. He called his disciples to change their entire lives. Every aspect of their existence is to fall in line with God's will. And if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, Jesus wasn't that radical, he wasn't that serious, go read the Sermon on the Mount. You think telling someone to gouge out their eye isn't radical? Cool, I'll pass around the ice pick. Maybe you're thinking, well, Jesus only cared about the spiritual side of the person. Then why did he feed the multitudes of people? Why did he tell his followers to look upon the world with eyes of compassion and to help those in need? Why did he call out socio-religious leaders for how they have treated the marginalized? Jesus and his disciples understood that religion is not only about the inside of the person, but the outside as well. You have been set apart. You have been called to live a life that reflects the love that God has shown you. You have been given the great gift of grace and now are called to faithfully face the injustices around you and speak out against them. Because it's not enough to just say that we follow God, we have to live it out. Just as when Christ said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Go away from me, you who behave lawlessly.' Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." We must act. For if we do not actively pursue the will of God, then we are nothing more than foolish builders playing in the sand. For if we act out our faith, then we begin to build something much greater than what came before us. And when we are pushed around by the world, we must not fear. When we are faced with hopelessness, we must not fear. When we feel the darkness all around us, we must not fear. For in the face of fear, we have faith. I have faith as I look out at the state of the world and see others standing up to the injustices around them. I'm filled with hope as I see families create community so that their children will receive food and the care that they need. I have faith that when my nephew and nieces go to school, they are building a better world where their children won't have to face violence. I have faith that our leaders will stand up to harmful practices and policies. I have hope for the child who, because they were created in the image of God, is supported, loved, and healed. I have faith. I have faith that when a pastor calls for our leadership to lead with compassion, humility, and mercy, that the response of other Christians is to support them. I have faith that Christians will study Scripture to see how to live into the will of God and speak against those that would use their religion to hate and oppress. I have faith. I have faith that the church, united first and foremost in Christ, will work to bring heaven to earth in all that it does. A church that is more concerned with caring for the least of these instead of supporting systems that sustain the status quo. A church that, when the end comes, sits at the right hand of God and hears the words, "Well done, good and faithful servants." I have faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this moment of reflection. As we look out onto the world and we see the suffering around us, as we see the people looking for answers, we pray that we can be your light. We pray that we can be your love in this world, that we can look to this world with eyes of compassion. And I pray that you soften our hearts and you open our eyes so that we can see the needs of those around us, so that we may act out our faith, so that we can be who you called us to be, and so that we can live into your will. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.